Stand with me as we read God's Word this morning. We're going to look at John chapter 15, 1 through 11. John chapter 15, 1 through 11. That's what it says. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. And God, I pray that today that we would hear from you, and in whatever small way, Lord, may it speak to our hearts. And so, God, just bless today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, today I'm going to talk to you about some things that I myself have stumbled with over and over again. And I'm guessing that probably many of you have as well. And it's all about being connected to God. You know, I think when I first came, there were several people who came to me and said, you know, we're burnt out and tired and need a break, and we're so glad that you're here. And so in every way possible, we made a way for people to step down from their place of work and service so that they could rest and heal. It was all good. It was all good for a while. And then I started to realize that some of those people had not come back to serve. And those who had taken over at the very beginning were now showing the signs of burnout and disconnect as well. You know, friends, ministry is hard. I don't know if you know that. But first of all, ministry is so awesome. And it's rewarding. It's fun. It's beneficial. But yes, it's hard. And there are going to be people and events that, you know, burn us out, that hurt us. But in many of the instances that I have seen happen, most of the time, it's not those people, it's not the church that's the problem. The problem is the way that we live our lives. It's the way that, for myself, the way that I was driving and living my life. See, we drive ourselves until we run on empty, don't we? And then we push harder to fix the problem only to make it worse. Right? And we get further and further disconnected from others and from God. You know, as I got thinking about that disconnection, it reminded me of a story that we kind of went through. How many have ever lost their internet at home? Okay, yeah, lots of people, right? So, you know, we lost our internet, so of course you're on the phone trying to find out what the problem is. And so we're on the phone. First of all, you know, 45 minutes later, you finally talk to somebody. So there's the first issue. Then you finally talk to somebody, and they do a diagnostic check on your internet and whatnot, and finally they tell you, yeah, no, your modem is, you know, toast. Okay, cool. Can I get one today, right? And they kind of laugh. And they say, no, you know, it's going to be 2 or 3 days or longer, right? And you're, right? What am I going to do? I'm disconnected from the internet for a day. Right? We get all crazy. Well, today I want to look at how to break that cycle so that we can live with joy and peace and spiritual abundance and to get connected once again. And so our lives really are a whirlwind of our activity, aren't they? Maybe you can relate to that story I just said. Or maybe you can relate to this. You know, you're about, you know, you get up, you scramble to get out of the house, and you take the kids to school, right? You hurry to work, you push all day to deal with unrealistic deadlines, unsympathetic bosses, or uncooperative customers. You rush to pick up the kids and get dinner. Someone has to take care of things around the house, get the kids to activities, pay the bills, and on and on and on. I'm not going to show hands, but maybe you can relate to that, right? Or maybe you're a person that's all about education or your career. You put every fiber of your being into excelling. You get up, you give up weekends, you sacrifice sleep, and you've forgotten the meaning of the word vacation. Ever been there? You're focused maybe on the next bonus or promotion, and you just want everyone to recognize you for being the best. You've given up everything that you can, thinking that it would bring you satisfaction and fulfillment. But you feel dry and empty, and the harder that you try, the more dry and empty you feel. Maybe that's your scenario. I can relate to all of those. But think about your scenario, whatever that may be. You know, and then we get things in our head about, well, maybe it's my job, maybe it's this, maybe, you know. But friends, we don't need new jobs. We don't maybe need a new church to go to, or whatever it is. We need to realize that the problem lies with us, doesn't it? See, when we feel like this, we tend to think that we need to work, right, a little bit harder. Try a little bit harder. Earn a little more, or go somewhere else where we will get what we're looking for. Or do things with the family that will make them like us more. When in reality, we realize that the answer isn't within us, isn't within me, is it? Jesus said this, and we read it before, I am the vine, you are the branches. He is the power source, and we are the ones his power flows through. And the answer is only found in him, isn't it? It's our connection to him. See, in verses 4 and 5 of those verses we read, Jesus told the disciples, he said that apart from me, apart from him, they can do nothing. And, you know, I think that holds true for us as well. Not just for the disciples back then. It holds true for us as well. You see, in him we can do anything that he calls us to do. Did you know that? But apart from him, we're going to dry up, and we're going to be empty, and we're going to cease to be useful or productive on any level. And a lot is very true of what I've gone through and done in my own life. But you know, there's a story in Luke 10, that talks about this, I think. And some of you, I'm sure, will recognize the story. Maybe some won't. But the story is about Mary and Martha. Do you remember that story? You see, in this story, Martha found out the hard way, didn't she? Jesus was coming to her house, right? Pretty exciting stuff. Now imagine somebody coming to your house that's of major importance, a celebrity or whoever it may be, right? What do you want to do? What do you want to do, right? You want everything to be just right, right? And so you stress over the details and then you're busy, 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 going like crazy. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You realize, and you look around that, wait a minute, I'm the only one doing the work. What's going on here, right? And that's what happened to Martha, wasn't it? She was doing all the work and everyone else was hanging out with Jesus. And so Martha takes it out on her sister Mary, who had decided it was better to be with Jesus than to do the dishes, right? And let me read you some of that story from Luke 10, 40 to 42. It says this, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So picture yourself, okay? She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Right? Tell her to help me. Can you just see yourself? Can you see Martha coming to Jesus? And Jesus is maybe sitting on a bench, just kind of, and I can just see the look on his face, right? Martha, Martha, he says. The Lord answered, you are worthy and upset about many things, he says. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Pretty powerful words. See, friends, what we need most is not more activity. Whether that be maybe activities that are going on in our community, or even more activity that's going on here at the church. What do we need? We need Jesus, right? We need Jesus. He is the vine, right? He's that source of power and strength. And each one of us are the branches, aren't we? Kind of like that conduit that his power flows through, if I can use that. And it's through him that we can do anything. But without him, we can do nothing, it says. See, Jesus compared not staying connected to him to a branch that's become disconnected from the vine. Interesting, isn't it? And it withers and dies, and then it says it's of no use, right? It's of no use. And we burn it. And like Martha, if we choose activity over Christ, we will become focused on ourselves. I became focused on myself. And we, because of that, we become unhappy with everything. And because of that, ultimately, we will be useless, right, to anyone. And as I thought of this, I went, you know, some would say, oh, it's not true. It's just a story. It's not fact. Right? The fact that is that it's God's word and spoken by Jesus should be enough, guys, for us to believe it, right? But I can also tell you by experience that every time that I have felt that disconnected and burnt out and worn down or otherwise, like I had nothing left to give, it has led to that unhappiness or that lack of joy and purpose. And sometimes, right, For me, it was even depression at times. And every time that I found myself in that place, I have traced the cause back to my failure to stay connected to Jesus. So what do we do? The cure is to stay connected to Him, right? Hours before Jesus went to the cross, hours before the lives of Jesus' disciples will be turned upside down, Jesus warned them that being disconnected from Him would lead to ruin. But He also promised them that staying connected to Himself would lead to bearing all the fruit of an abundant life that He had told them about. Right? Now, I know maybe some of you may be listening and wondering, you know, man, if it were only that easy, right? I need a more lighter burden or a more abundant life. What is that abundant life? And it's difficult to realize when you're in the situation. But some of us are doing exactly what Martha did. We're standing in the kitchen, tired and stressed out, and we're wanting to blame someone or something else for how you and I are feeling. But what we really need to do is put, right, those dishes down for a while and go into the next room and sit at the feet of Jesus and get connected once again. I remember a few years ago that I'm a guy who just likes to serve and just get in there and do things. And we were actually having our men's breakfast. And kind of was in between before our speaker was speaking. And what do? Not thinking. I'm just in the kitchen and I'm just doing dishes, right? And I had a gentleman come up to me and say, "You know, Garth, you know why nobody comes in here to help you? It's because you're doing it all the time." And I went, yeah, you're right. And I realized that I needed to put the dishes down literally to go into and hear how God was touching somebody else's life so I could connect with that person. But the same way, I can get lost into different things by doing too much and being disconnected from the one who I need to hear from. Right? All right. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So friends, we are just branches, aren't we? There's no real sustaining power within us. And on our own, we will run out of steam and ultimately become useless. I felt like that. Jesus, friends, is the vine, isn't He? Jesus is the vine. That is where the real power comes from. See, branches don't work harder to produce fruit, do they? In fact, they don't really work at all. They just let the vine work through them to produce that fruit. And the focus of the branch is just to stay connected, right? To stay connected to the vine. And as I thought of that, it reminded me of our backyard tree in our house, at our yard. Every summer, it's a maple tree. I'm pretty sure I'm to blame for all the maple bugs in the town. Oh, it's crazy. We just found that out last year or so, that it was a maple tree. And we went, hello? Anyway, so every summer, I go around kind of as far as I can reach, and I cut anywhere from 3 to 5 feet of branches all the way around that thing. And then by the end of the summer, three to five feet have grown back. But those branches I've cut off, right? What it talked about, they wither, and I've literally used them to burn in our fire pit. But the difference is that I didn't cut the main branch off, did I? Or the main trunk, the vine. And so as a result, even though I cut the branches off, or the vine, yeah, the branches off here, right? It kept feeding, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. So this translation that we've been using says, remain in me. Others put it, abide in me. The idea, though, is to staying connected to Jesus. And so again, the focus of our life shouldn't be more activity. Again, whether in our community or in our church. The focus of our lives should be staying connected to Jesus. And when we do that, when I've done that, the fruit that comes out of it is the fruit of life that is transformed by Jesus. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. When you finally get connected to Jesus, your life is transformed, isn't it? Friends, there is nothing more rewarding or satisfying in life than to live that way, right? The way that He designed us to live. It's the difference between being kind of like maybe this bottle of water, right? And a faucet that I could fill this up with. See, when we do things on our own power, we're maybe like this bottle of water, right? If we start to pour it out, eventually what happens? It becomes empty, right? We run out of stuff to give, and it leaves us empty and useless. However, a faucet, on the other hand, is continually connected to a source of water, isn't it? It doesn't run dry. It can deliver water as long as you need it to, because it's continually and directly connected to its power source. Now, I wouldn't suggest you go home and turn on your tap and leave it. Water bills are expensive enough. But you get the idea, right? So how in the world do we stay connected, folks? How do we stay connected? And I'm sure some of you are thinking, you know, I mean, I read my Bible. That's good. I pray. I come to church. What am I missing? Right? And for the most part, it's not the things that we are doing. And for me, it wasn't the things that I was doing, but the attitude in which we do them, that I was doing them. See, for many of us, the things that we do that should draw us closer to Christ have just become activities that we need to check off that daily list. And friends, that isn't worship. It's not abiding or remaining in Him. And it won't draw us closer. Right? It becomes kind of like an empty religion. And Jesus, friends, He didn't give Himself on the cross for religion. The key is to staying connected to Jesus. In that the attitude behind our action is about drawing you and I closer to Him personally, right? What are some of those activities that we can do to do that? And we're doing all of these here at this church and probably others. But, you know, you can read your Bible, right? You can pray. There's solitude. There's journaling, discipleship, which we've kind of focused our theme on and what Josiah is building into. There's worship, fasting, evangelism, giving, and on and on. There's so many things that we can do. But the point behind these activities is to help us grow closer to Jesus as individuals, right? And we desperately need to directly connect with Him. However, some of us would rather settle for a poor imitation of Jesus. I love this, what Francis Chan says, that American Christians have become like the people of Israel, he says. They chose the voice of Moses over God's voice. He says, we idolize pastors and teachers and missionaries and other religious leaders. We flock to hear them speak to us when what we really need to do is go up to the mountain and speak with Jesus directly. He's given us that privilege, but far too few of us take advantage of it. Isn't that good? So the idea behind Jesus' words, remain in me or abide in me, is that we would seek to always be in a state of awareness of His presence, right? He's always with us, but we aren't always aware of that because, again, we get caught up in and distracted by everything that's going on in our lives. And it's the same idea as Paul's encouragement that we pray without ceasing. Do you remember when Paul said that? Pray without ceasing. Or the psalmist who wrote about meditating on God's word day and night. Or Isaiah's writing about our minds being steadfast on God. Part of the issue, if I can again put it this way, is that some of us are still dating Jesus when He asks us to marry Him. We're still dating when He's asked us to marry Him. You see, when Selena and I were dating, we spent a lot of time together. But ultimately, at some point in time, time would come when I would go home. And also, I was committed to her in our dating relationship, but not fully committed, because there was no promise at that point to stay with her no matter what, right? We were just dating. But you know what? And I'm sure many of you can relate. Those things changed when we got married, right? And now we live together. There's no going home unless we go home together. I've also now committed myself to her for the rest of my life. No matter what, I'm here, I'm all in. There is no life without her because I love her. So if I can again put it this way, friends, stop dating Jesus. Stop working Him into your life when it's convenient. It's time to get married and be all in. Work your life around Him, and that's abiding. That's remaining in Him. Final thought here that I'll mention is that we just are sometimes in too big of a hurry, right? We're too busy. We, again, say a prayer, read a chapter or two in the Bible, just so we can, again, check that box off and get on with our day. I've been there and done that. Right? We rush, for example, into church. Usually all right on time or a little late. Do what's expected of us and then run out the doors as quickly as we can in order to get on to the next thing. We rush through our lives and fit Jesus in if we can. And friends, I'm just going to put it plainly, we need to stop. It's time to be still and to get connected deeply with Jesus again. You see, during His ministry, We are given pictures of Jesus doing this. He got up early to be alone. He sent the disciples to do other things so that he could be with the Father. He also pulled the disciples away from the busyness of their lives so that they could rest and get refreshed. Right? So here's my challenge to us all. I want you to look at your calendars. There's already people going, I want you to look at your calendars though. Be proactive about the things that you schedule and prioritize the things that draw you close to God so that they are prominent and not overlooked because of a hectic schedule. See, sometimes we have to say no to some good things in order to say yes to the best things. We all only have so much time to work with. I challenge you to prioritize that time around your Savior. Get back connected with Him and spend time doing what He has made you and I for. Connect with Jesus today. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we can come back to you and to be fully connected to you. You haven't gone anywhere. You're always there. It's us, it's me who leaves and I get my priorities all mixed up. So God, help us to prioritize. Help us to be connected to you every single day. However that may look, God. But don't let the busyness of this world get us confused or whatever, Lord. Just help us to stay focused on you. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for each one here. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts today. And that first connection, God, is to know you personally. And so, God, I pray that if someone's here that doesn't know you, that, God, they would connect to you today by accepting you into their hearts. And wow, can start that amazing journey with you, Lord. So, God, help those to turn to you today. And if they have, tell them to tell somebody so they can get excited and we can get excited for them. So God, thank you for your word. Thank you again for today. Thank you that we are the branches and that you are the vine that will continually feed us with your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen.